thought that it would be a good idea to speak about Birkas Kohanim. Not everything there is to know about Birkas Kohanim, but a lot. Okay, first of all, this bracha, before the Torah institutionalized it, the Rabbanu Shem gave that this is the bracha that Kohanim give to Klal Yisrael, it was said by Aaron HaKohen on his own. The day the Mishkan was consecrated, it says that Aaron went and he blessed the people, and he used this bracha, and then the Rabbanu Shalom made that the Birchas Kohanim. Could be that the Rabbanu Shalom intended to make that Birchas Kohanim to begin with, and Aaron was mechavim with his Ruach HaKodesh to it. And therefore, it's one of the reasons why when the Kohen makes the bracha, Asher Kedishon Zazal, Levarech Es Amo Yisrael B'Ahava, that originally this wasn't just a command, but it was done out of love that Aaron had for Klal Yisrael, right? That Aaron is Oivis, what's it called? Rodev Shalom, Oivis Abrios. He had a tremendous Ahava to want to give a bracha. Tova Ayin Yavorech, a person with a good eye, gives brachas. So this came B'Ahava, originally out of love, not because of a command. The what? No, it says Ovi Sabrius Makar from the Torah. Ovi Sabrius Makar. Okay, the others say that, not others, another idea is that this bracha, Klal Yisrael were Zochetu from the Avos. Ko Sevorchu. By each of the Avos, it says the word Ko. Ko Yezarecha by Avram Avinu. Vani Vahanar Nelcha Ad Ko. And Kosomar Lebeis Yaakov. So of Ko was mentioned by all of the Avos. And Ko Sevorchu, in the Schus of the Avos, we got this bracha. The, bracha, what's it called, in the Beis HaMikdash, was said as one bracha, and not three, like we split it up into three sentences and answer Amen after each one. It was one bracha. They said it with Shem HaMeforesh, with the way that God's name is written, not just the way we read Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, but they said it with the Shem HaMeforesh, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, until Shimon HaTzadik died. When Shimon HaTzadik died, they stopped saying the Shem HaMeforesh, and they said only the Shem as we say it. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to pick up their hands above their head. Now the Kohanim pick up their hands shoulder height. But then, except for the Kohen Gadol, who couldn't put his hands up above his head because he wasn't allowed to pick his hands higher than the tzitz, which had Shem Hashem on it, all the other Kohanim picked their hands above their head. And instead of answering Amen in the Beis HaMikdash, they answered Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. And in the Beis HaMikdash, it was usher to look at the Kohanim, because the Shekhinah was there by their hands, and was usher to look at the Shekhinah. Okay, whatever that meant. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the minig is not to look at the Kohanim, but it's for a different reason. The reason is that you shouldn't get fixated on the Kohanim and forget about the Bruch. Shelo Yasiach Das. But really, it's not the same Isser as applied in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the halachos. It has to be said b'shas avoda, meaning when you say ritzei in what's it called, and that's when you say birkas kohanim, and which it's mentioned in birkas hashalom, shim shalom. That's what we say it. It has to be dafk in the day. You don't say birkas kohanim at night. It has to be done standing up, ponim keneged ponim, face to face, which is something that people really don't understand many times. People think they're extra frum if they turn their back on the Kohanim. So they, chas v'shalom, shouldn't look. So which we said, first of all, outside the Beis HaMikdash, there's no real isser of looking at the Kohanim. It's just that you shouldn't take your mind off the bracha. And the halacha is that if you're getting a bracha from somebody, face them. Don't turn your back on them. So it's 100% wrong to turn your back on the Kohen, right? What you do is you face the Kohen, put your head down, So you're not fixated on the Kohanim. And it has to be done the Kol Ram, out loud. The Kohanim have to say it out loud. Not only that, since the person who is Makri, the Kohanim, the one who says it before him, either the Shliach Tzibur or somebody else, Shaila, who exactly says it, also has to be B'kol Ram. That also was a mistake that somehow came from Chazonim, I think, that they used to whisper the Yivarechecha or whatever as they prompt the Kohanim. But Pashtus, the halacha is that just like the Kohanim have to say it B'kol Ram, the prompter has to say it B'kol Ram too. What? No, it's a cover your head with talus, so you shouldn't look at the Kohanim, it's fine, as long as you're facing it. Okay. It's a mitzvah ki you miss, meaning if a Kohen doesn't want to go to shul and doesn't want to give a bracha, he doesn't have to. But once they call him, then he has to give the bracha, and if he doesn't give the bracha, then he's mevatel mitzvah saseh. Some say, the Meiri says, that there's a chiyuv on a Kohen to give this bracha at least once a day. So he has to show up in shul and he gets to give the bracha. Okay. The halacha is, according to most opinions, that the mitzvah min haTorah is only if there are two kohanim. More lohem, says in the plural. One kohen can give the bracha, but he's not mechuyev min haTorah, it's only the rabbanim. There are opinions that say, not like that, that even one kohen is min haTorah. In Eretz Yisrael, the minig is to give this bracha every single day, Shabbos, weekday, except and in all the Shmoneh Esreis except for Mincha. The reason in Mincha not is because Mincha time is a time when people eat and drink, and we're afraid that the Kohen will be drunk. Drunk doesn't mean, you know, wallowing through the streets. It means he drank a ravias of wine and he's not totally balanced. On the Tainus Tzibur, right, Mincha, if Mincha is done late in the day, there is Birkas Kohanim, because then there's no chance that the guy's drunk because you're not allowed to eat. And normally we don't say Birkas Kohanim even on a Tainus Tzibur, a Mincha, because we'll confuse it with other days. But where you're davening very late in the day, there it's not going to be confused, and there it's okay. Okay. So that's the minhag of Eretz Yisrael. However, in Tveria and in Tzfas, the minig was only on Shabbos and not during the week, and some hold only on Shabbos Musaf. But otherwise, in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the minig was to say Birkas Kohanim. That's the halacha. In Chutz La'aretz, the minig became, for various reasons, and many of them are not clear why, that they only give Birkas Kohanim on Yontif and only in Musaf.
Those
on Yontif.
Those
right, all the time. Okay. Really, the halacha is that there's no reason not to. The Ramah is the one who mentions that, and since the Ramah is for Ashkenazim, Sfardim go the fiva halacha that you give Birkas Kohanim even in Chutz La'aretz. So, what are the reasons why not? Okay. So, first of all, even those that only give on Yontif, right? Hoshana Rabbah, there's a minig also sometimes to give. Many places not, but some have an Hoshana Rabbah too. And there's also another minig in Chutz La'aretz, which the poskim say is a minig toz, that when Shabbos, Yontif falls on Shabbos, you don't say Birkas Kohanim. Okay? Now, the reason is that they're afraid maybe to carry a siddur, which is great, why do you need a siddur for Birkas Kohanim? Or, there's other reasons why possibly Shabbos not. They say tongue in cheek that we don't say the tefillah, the Ribono Shel Olam, right, because it has special things. If you duchen on Shabbos, you don't say that special tefillah, because it asks for personal things or whatever. So you skip that on Shabbos. So some people say, how could you duchen without the Ribono Shel Olam? So therefore, on Shabbos, since without the Ribono Shel Olam, can't say it. But in any case, it's very unclear why you don't duchen at all, right? Except on Yontif, and not only in Musaf, not in Shachris, right? And some on Simchas Torah duchen in Shachris and not in Musa, because by that time people are getting drunk. Why not? So some say that because the Kohanim used to have a minig to go to the mikveh before they said Birkas Kohanim, which is not a really strong reason, because most Kohanim don't go to the mikveh. and it was difficult to go to the mikveh every day, so therefore they stopped saying Birkas Kohanim. Others say that it's Bittul Malacha. People were in a rush because they had to work. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, people don't work, but in Chutz La'aretz, they work. So it was difficult to have Birkas Kohanim every day. Also, difficult reason. I mean, how long more does Birkas Kohanim take? You know, to, another reason, which is probably the main reason, is that you have to say Birkas Kohanim b'simcha when you're b'simcha. And in Chutz La'aretz, there wasn't too much to be b'simcha about, except on Yontif. In Eretz Yisrael, it could be the simcha every day. Or maybe there's never simcha, so what difference does it make? You know, as it goes. The Vilna Gaon wanted to reestablish the halacha and abolish this minig and make Birkas Kohanim every single day. And the day that he appointed to start doing it, the shul burnt down. So he took the hint that maybe the Rabban Shom doesn't want them to say Birkas Kohanim every day in Chutz La'aretz. Okay. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's a minig garua. It's not really a proper minig, but since Rov Klal Yisrael were makabalit, and for some reason all Ashkenazim in Chutz La'aretz don't duchen every day, it's like there was a bas kol, and for some reason that minig stands. Okay. Okay, since it says Amor Lahem, so aside from the Kohanim giving the bracha, we learn from that that they have to be prompted. And they have to be called. So that's when we say Kohanim. And then, they prompt the Kohanim. And that's only if there's two. If there's two, then you call them Kohanim. If there's not two, then you let the Yiddish come up on their own. The Kohen has to begin moving towards the place where Birkas Kohanim will be had. It's called the Duchan. In many shuls, the Duchan is a platform raised above, but in some places, just a place in front of the Aron Kodesh, that's the place where they say Birkas Kohanim. And when they start Ritzei, before they finish Hamachzor Shechinas L'Tzion, the Kohen has to have made movement towards the Aron Kodesh. If he didn't, then he doesn't give Birkas Kohanim. He has to start moving towards the place of Duchen from in Ritzei. Okay, then he makes the bracha, Asher Kedushan Sol Tzivonu, Asher Kedushan, the Mikdushasa Shal Aron, the Tzivonu, the Vorech Hasamu Yisrael, Bi'ahava. So what's this Bi'ahava? So we said the bracha has to be given with tremendous love, and it was originally given voluntarily. Another idea, Bi'ahava, is a kinui for Shem HaMeforesh. The Aleph and the Yud interchange. So it's Aleph Hey, Vav Hey, Aleph Hey, Beis Hey. It's like Aleph, what's it called? Yud K, and the Beis and the Vav are similar sounds. So the Ava is like a euphemism for Yud K, Vav K, the Ava. A cotton, a Kohen cotton, Al Tzkovat HaTzibur, if he's the only one there, doesn't go up according to anybody. A Kohen Katan doesn't give the bracha by himself. Together with other Kohanim Gedolim, so then it depends. The halacha is that he could, but not on a regular basis. Once in a while, right, on a not permanent basis, a Kohen Katan can go up with Kohanim who are Gedolim. The minig by most Ashkenazim is that until a Kohen is bar mitzvah, he doesn't duchen at all, even together with his father or together with the tzibur. However, by Sfardim, the Kohanim who are not bar mitzvah do go up with their, with their fathers. Chinuch, yeah, because it could be that it's covered for the tzibur. You don't want a cotton giving a bracha to the tzibur. There is a minig that a Kohen who's not married doesn't say Birkas Kohanim, but that's not halacha. The minig is that he does do it. There's a hiddur to get a bracha from a father and a son who are Kohanim, where both of them are gedolim. Like what passes a Kohen from giving Birkas Kohanim? He's a balmo in his hands. that people are going to be staring at his hands and forget about the bracha. However, if he's dosh bi'iro, meaning people are used to it, it's in his place where he lives and people know he has crooked fingers or something like that, or his hands are spotted, or he's got printer and his hands are black. So if he is, he's familiar, people are familiar with him, so they're not going to stare at him because they see him all the time. Or, since that's the minig, they cover their hands with the talus, so you can't see his hands. In those cases, he can give a bracha, even if he's balmum. He can't pronounce the words properly, right, as the place where he lives. He pronounces them very different. However, that's if he pronounces them very, very different, and they're not intelligible. But if they're intelligible, they're just not the havara. He's a Sfardi and they're Ashkenazim. He's an Ashkenazi and they're Sfardim. He's a Taimani or vice versa. That is okay. A Taimani can give Birkas Kohanim by Ashkenazim and Sfardim. A Sfardi by Ashkenazim and Taimonim and vice and Ashkenazim also. Another thing that apostles a Kohen, he murdered somebody. He killed somebody. Didn't murder. He killed somebody, even by accident. A car accident. He was in a car accident and he killed somebody. Then what's it called? Well, even if he was chozer b'tshuva, right from it, then they hold that he could say Birkas Kohanim.
Is it
a shaila? Because over there it could be that it's not even hariga, it's a mitzvah. But if he friendly fire killed another soldier, yeah, then it's the same thing. Okay, another thing. He converted to another religion. Right? Over to Avodah Zarah. So then, if he's Chozer B'Tshuva, he could. If he wasn't Chozer B'Tshuva, a Jewish Christian. You know, one of these, Jews for Yashka, maybe can't dig Birkas Kohanim. A Mumer Lahachis. He's Machal Shabbos, the Farhesia. Or he doesn't have a bris milah on purpose, not because his brothers died. Just doesn't have a bris milah. They can't give Birkas Kohanim. Guy's a shikr. Not that he happens to be sometimes a shikr. He's a shikr now. Comes to shul drunk. Can't give Birkas Kohanim. If he's mezalzel b'mitzvahs kahuna. In other words, we know that he's a ghost of cemeteries. He's married to a divorcee. Right? So he can't give Birkas Kohanim. Okay. The bracha now. The seder of the bracha. What's ma'akiv? It has to be said the Lashon HaKodesh. Even if you have an art scroll, you can't say it in English. It has to be said in Hebrew. You can only say it if there's a minyan. Okay? The Kohen takes off his shoes, but not his socks. He's not barefoot. He just doesn't have shoes with laces. The reason being that we're afraid that his shoelace will get untied or whatever, and he'll bow down to tie it, and people will think that he's not saying the bracha because he's puzzled. And they'll slander him that he's not a kosher kohen. So for fear of that, kohanim don't go in shoes with laces. So really the minis take off their shoes completely. Even if the shoes are loafers, they still take them off. Before Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim have to wash their hands till the wrist. And that's a halacha that even on days like Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, where you only wash in the morning till your knuckles, the Kohen washes till his wrist. Because that's halacha. Some Kohanim are makpid that they don't say Birkas Kohanim unless they went to a mikveh beforehand. And the washing has to be lechatchila by a Levi. The Levi washes the Kohen's hands. If there are no Leviim, then Bechoros go. And if not, the Kohen himself washes his hands, but a Yisrael who's not a Bechor, not a Levi, doesn't wash the Kohen's hands. So it's either Levi, Bechor, or the Kohen himself washes his hands.
You mentioned without shoes, but with socks. Basically, the Avodah was done barefoot, like how?
Right. Completely barefoot, but in by Birkas Kohanim they don't go mamish barefoot because it's not considered derech eretz. People don't walk around barefoot. You can't daven barefoot either because of that reason, except in countries where people got to go barefoot.
Right.
In some places, yes. If the minig in that place is yes to go, not so much barefoot, but without socks. Right. In Matityahu, we don't let people daven without socks because nobody there normally goes without socks. That's nobody. But 99% of the people, since we all come from Chutz Laaretz, are not used to going with sandals without socks. But in a kibbutz, where 99% of the people don't know what socks are, right? Mustafa would be okay to daven like that, right? Like we said, the Kohen has to begin moving towards the place of Birkas Kohanim in Ritzei at some time, and if he doesn't, then he can't do it. Okay, then we call the Kohanim. What? No, he has to go towards the Duchen, not away from it. If the washing place is closer towards where he's Duchen, that's okay.
Washing is not a movement.
No, it has to be getting closer towards the Duchen. Okay, like we said, they call Kohanim when there's two Kohanim. When there's only one Kohen, he comes up on his own. And the Shaila is who calls him. Some say the Shliach Tzibur calls him. And he says, like in Chutz Laaretz, the Shliach Tzibur says, Elokeinu v'lokeinu v'lokeinu, and he says out loud, Kohanim. In Eretz Yisrael, in most places, the minig is that the Shliach Tzibur does not, because for him it's a hechsik-like, and only the, what's it called, somebody else from the Kahal says Kohanim. Okay? In Chutz Laaretz, come out, it's everywhere, the Shliach Tzibur himself says Kohanim, and they start with Elokeinu v'lokeinu v'lokeinu, lo, and then they say Kohanim out loud or whatever. Kohanim face the Aron Kodesh to begin with, and they make the bracha, and then they turn around to the Kahal as they finish the bracha. There really is a machlokus whether they say the bracha facing the people or facing the Aron Kodesh. The Rambam says facing the Aron Kodesh, and that's what we do. They make the bracha facing the Aron Kodesh and then turn around towards the end of the bracha, and the Torah says they face the people completely. Okay, then, after they make the bracha, then there's again two minhagim. Here in Eretz Israel, the minig is, just like in Chutz Laaretz, that the chazan, who's davening for the Amid, prompts the Kohanim. In some places, the chazan just stands there quietly, and the person who called the Kohanim, somebody from the Kahal, prompts them. Okay. And like we said, the Kohanim have to say the bracha out loud. Let's mention that already. If the Shliach Tzibur is a Kohen, so if there are no other Kohanim, then the Shliach Tzibur turns around and says Birkas Kohanim. If there are other Kohanim, and here's a Shaila, some say even if there's only one other Kohen, then the Shliach Tzibur doesn't say Birkas Kohanim, and he what's it called, keeps quiet while they give duchen. Some say only if there's two other Kohanim than him, but if there's only one other Kohen, then he duchens too. Really, if there wouldn't be davening from a Siddur, the Shliach Tzibur should not be a Kohen, because he's not allowed to duchen if there are no other Kohanim. But since we daven from a Siddur, we're not afraid that he's going to get mixed up, and therefore, if there are no other Kohanim, he could duchen, and if there are other Kohanim, the minig is that he doesn't. There are shittas at hold that since we daven from a Siddur, and there's little chance the Kohen's going to get mixed up and not know how to get back to Shmon Esrei, since he's the Chazan, that even if there are other Kohanim, the Kohen duchens too. So somebody who does that, you can't, the Mishmura says you can't say they're doing something wrong. But the minig is not like that.
Does he start Sim Shalom before he turns around, or does he turn around and
say Sim Shalom? The Mislami turns around and says Sim Shalom. Okay. Now, the Kohanim should not start until the prompter finishes. In other words, prompter say Yivarechecha. When he finishes Yivarechecha, then they start. In order to make that, to facilitate that, the Chazonim should not, you know, say Yivarechecha with, you know, some kind of flourishing Yivarechecha. So they know when he finishes, he should say Yivarechecha, finished. That's it. And the same thing with the Kohanim. They should say, and so then the Kohal, the prompter doesn't say the next word till most of the Kohanim finish that word, And then at the end, the Kahal doesn't say Amen till most of the Kohanim finish the Yishmerecha or Vichunecha or Shalom. And then the prompter doesn't start till most of the Kahal finishes Amen. You don't start till the people who before you were finished. Okay.
Most of them.
It doesn't have to be all of them, most of them. Yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, I mean, in Chutz La'aretz, it was always King Yirat Zon was the name to say. I hear a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael.
No. If the Chazan, the Chazan Duchin is not a Kohen.
Right.
Then you say Kain Yirat Zon.
You don't say Amen.
Mishnah Berurah says it's not a bracha.
Right.
He's just saying what the Kohanim said. So you say Kain Yirat Zon. Can't answer Amen because it's not a bracha. Now the Kohanim pick up their hands above shoulder height and they separate their fingers the way the Kohanim do, that there's these two fingers together, these two, and it's Kabbalah, whatever it is. I'm not a Kohen. They say if you're not a Kohen, you can't do it. That's ridiculous. But in any case, it's not Shaykh to do. Right. But in any case, there's a pasuk that says, Meitzitz min acharakim, the Rabbanu Shalom is peeking through the cracks. And they say that refers to the cracks between the fingers of the Kohanim when they say the bracha. Okay. After Shemone Esrei is over, the Kohanim go down. When there's a Kaddish, immediately after, right, then they go down after Kaddish, not in the middle of Kaddish. The mitzvah is on the Kohanim to give the bracha, and there's a mitzvah on the Yisraelim to receive the bracha. And the Kahal should be mechavin to be mekayim that mitzvah of receiving the bracha and answer amen. And they shouldn't be involved with saying other kind of psukim or whatever, even though they're in the sidurim while Birkas Kohanim is going on. They should concentrate on receiving the bracha.
What's the mitzvah for receiving?
The what?
What's the requirement?
No, because it says amor lahem, some say, means what's it called?
Yeah.
Right. The minig is that between the brachas, between the three brachas, right, there's a tefillah to be said for chalomos. It says that when the Kohanim, it's an opportune time to heal bad dreams. So you don't do it while the Kohanim are saying the bracha, but between the brachas they give time. Now here in Eretz Israel, since not everybody has a dream every night, so they don't say those tefillahs every day. And some places they don't say it at all. But it doesn't make sense, because in Chutz La'aretz, where they only duchen on Yontif, probably people dreamt between Yontif to Yontif. The question is only why say it the second day Yontif then, right? But in any case, so in Chutz La'aretz they say it from Yontif to Yontif because probably people dreamt in that time. Here, not logical. People dreamt every day, so they don't say it every day. But the Chora is no reason why not to say it on Yontif. So we say it Yontif, like they do in Chutz La'aretz, the Ribono Shel Olam, right? Because at least that much to say. Every day we don't say it. If the minig is that on Shabbos, if Yontif falls on Shabbos, you don't say that tefillah, the Ribono Shel Olam. The Mishnah Berurah says you say that tefillah three times, and each time you end it differently. You end it the way that the bracha ends, right? Yishmerecha v'yishmereini. And then v'yichoneini, and then whatever. Right? We don't do that. We only say it twice, and we say v'yishmereini, v'yichoneini both times. And the third time, we say a special tefillah of what's it called? Elokeinu v'kevoseinu. We think it starts right. It's a longer tefillah. And while the kahal is saying that tefillah, the kohanim are singing. To give time, and they sing extra long. The last one because it's longer.
So was there a lot of chanting? Was there a lot of people? Are you giving credibility to people's dreams there?
Yeah, dreams are dreams. There could just three kinds of dreams. There's one kind of dream that is meaningless because it basically is what a person's thinking of during the day. Is he going to dreams at night? Not necessarily. In symbolic forms, that's Freud's dreams, right? And that you can tell us about people, whatever. But there are dreams that are more prophetic dreams, where a person's neshama is aware of things that are going on in Shemayim, and they are significant dreams. And it could be, it can happen or whatever. What?
How do you decide?
There are certain dreams that if you're not thinking about those things are significant, significant to a point where there's an inyan to fast for those dreams the day that you have them, or to make hatovas chalom. I'm not going to tell you what they are because you for sure dream about them tonight. And if you're thinking about them, if you're thinking about those ideas, they're meaningless. And it's only if you dream it more than once and it really bothers you. And they're symbolic dreams. They're not dreams that people have that they think are bad. They see somebody die, or that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about things that symbolically we know that these are things that filter down from higher worlds and are understood in a symbolic way. It's hard for me to describe. We don't have the time to go into it, but ask me, when can we talk about this that has to do with the Sedra? You know what? In Parshas Balak, remind me before, and we'll speak about dreams. Okay. Okay. Now, the reason for this mitzvah, why do we need a Kohen? If God wants to bless us, let him bless us. Why do we need the Kohanim? Right? So one is, since the Kohanim are the servants of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they're the ones who are attached to him more than everybody else, right? So the bracha comes through them to us, and not only that, but it's an inyan of kovet for the Kohen that we ask the Kohen to bless us, and when we look to him to bless, it's a kovet for the Kohuna. So that's a kovet for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Also, the Kohanim are the ones who teach us Torah. The way to get a bracha is by keeping the Torah properly, right? So the Kohanim are the ones who teach us how to get the bracha properly. Right? So they're the ones to give the bracha, but ultimately it's because we're supposed to get the instruction from them how to deserve the bracha. Another reason is that the Kohanim are Rod Fe Shalom, that was Aaron HaKohen. Oev Shalom, Rod Fe Shalom, since that's their midah, so they can give us a bracha that we should have shalom. They're the people who are the repository of shalom. And others, the Rashbam says an interesting thing. He says the Birkas Kohanim is not that the Kohanim are giving us a bracha. They're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should give us the bracha. They're like interceders for us that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bless us. They're davening. They're not, most opinions say they're like the pipeline, the bracha that comes through them. God wants them to be the pipeline because they teach us Torah and we have to give them kavod, so he made them the pipeline. According to the Rashbam, they're not a pipeline at all. All they do is daven that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bless us. Right, okay. Now what does the bracha mean? Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. According to most Perushim, it has to do with physical, material things. Money, children, things in this world, right? And Yivarechecha means it should be increased. You should have a lot of money, a lot of children, but Yishmerecha, God should protect you, that the money shouldn't be for your dad, that people shouldn't come and steal it, right? It should be protected too. That you should have children, but they shouldn't go off the derech, and the Rachman al-Islam shouldn't get sick or whatever. So the bracha is to have it, and an abundance of it, and the yishmerecha is it should be protected and not lead to negative things. You should only have positive things. That's yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. And then there is the and that bracha has three words, which corresponds to the three aliyahs that you give on a Monday and a Thursday. Okay, so there's three words in the first bracha, and that's, they made the three aliyahs connected those three words, not the opposite way, right? Not that those three words are connected to three aliyahs. Three aliyahs of rabbinic. The rabbis instituted three aliyahs, according to some opinions in the Gemara, because of these three words in Birkas Kohanim. Now, the second one is...
So the Gemara is saying that the three aliyahs are because of the three words.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not the opposite way around, right? Yeah. The second thing is, the second bracha, Yoer Hashem, is spiritual things, enlightenment, Torah, knowledge. Yoer Hashem Ponav Eilecha. And that has five words. And they made the five aliyahs on Yontif. Can they get that? There's five aliyahs on Yontif. Okay? And Yontif is more of a ruchnius, and the weekday is gashmius. So gashmius bracha, three aliyahs on the weekday, and the ruchnius bracha, Yor Hashem Panavilech, is what's it called. And it's also connected to five Humshe Torah, so it's more a bracha of Torah. And then the last bracha has seven words, and it is the idea of shlemus, of perfection. Seven is a number of perfection, and perfection is when the gashmius and the ruchnius work together. So Yisa Hashem Panavilech V'Yisimcha Shalom is you should have a balance between the gashmius and the ruchnius, harmony between them. And that is the seven aliyahs on Shabbos. Now there are 15 words, and they are keneged the 15 years that the Avos lived concurrently. Right? Avram didn't die until Yaakov was 15 years old. So there was 15 years that all the Avos were living concurrently. That's connected to 15 words in Birkas Kohanim. There are 60 letters, which correspond to Shishim Giborim Savivlam Migiborei Yisrael. Right? These are the 60 letters that protect Klal Yisrael. And some say that the 60 you can reduce in Mizpor Katan to 6. So those are the 6 aliyahs on Yom Kippur. The only thing that's missing is the 4 on Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed. Right. That's the only ones that are missing. I don't know what's connected to that.
500.
What?
5 on
Yom Tov they have. No, 5 on...
5 is the second bracha.
5 is the second bracha. Right, 3, 5, 7. 60 is connected to 6. I don't know what's connected to 4. That's from how that's done.
15
was
Shem
Hashem. What?
15 was Shem Hashem.
Yud K. Yeah, also. Yeah.
When I asked, when I was growing up, you know, it's 50 years ago, I'm sure in almost every Orthodox shul in the United States, east of, west of New York, there were Kohanim who got up who were not
Shomer Shabbos.
Shomer Shabbos. And this was, I think, a tough five inches, as I said,
so,
completely
right.
Down. So that was just power.
So usually, no. Usually, if he's not in a Chalos Shabbos for a Hesed, which means the guy comes to shul, okay? So it shows he believes in something. He just doesn't understand what Shabbos is. He's probably educated like that. Also, it could be that he wouldn't have the chutzpah to mamish be mechal Shabbos in front of the rabbi. He wouldn't light up a cigarette in front of the rabbi. Right? So that's not called a mechal Shabbos for Hesia, and he doesn't fit into this cloud. But a person who really doesn't believe in anything, and he doesn't believe in Shabbos at all, he knows what it is, and he doesn't keep it, that kind of coin can't be. But most of the Kohanim that duchen in these places, they're in shul already. They're not real mechal shabbos for Hesia.
What's the meaning of a father putting a talis over his kid's head and holding his head?
It's very nostalgic. Okay. It is also that the kid shouldn't look at the Kohanim. But people, you know, have this phobia, like it's also to look at the Kohen. It's nothing like it. Just you should keep your mind on the bracha. That's all.
And
that looks good, like it makes a nice picture, you know, it reminds you of the old days when. Right.
The Indian that you just addressed with the Kohanim there, it's thrown in America who were not Shomer Torah mitzvahs. Many people hold the same shita with regard to Yayin Nesach and the public place.
Yeah. My Rosh Hashiva of Gifters, that's all. Hell like this. The Chatchila, obviously, if a Mechal Shabbos touch a wine, you can't drink it. But if it would cause somebody embarrassment, he was somnich on those shitas, Binyan Zion, who said that Mechal Shabbos was manazeh, most of them have a din of a tinnik shen ishban, they don't answer wine. However, I asked for Moshe Feinstein once, personally, I he was in hotels, and I had a chance to ask him, so I was a kid, he was maybe 17, 18. So I asked him, what's better? The halacha is that boiled wine is not the chanchila for kiddush. It's only b'diavad. So what happens in a situation where people who are mechal Shabbos touch the wine, but they're tinoko shenishbu? So if you boil the wine or use boiled wine, it's not a chanchila for kiddush. But then you're being somech on the fact that they're not don't asa the wine. Which is better? Boil the wine and not be somech on the fact that they're not real mechal Shabbos? Or be somech on the fact that they're not really Mechal Shabbos and use unboiled wine. Or Moshe said, boil the wine. He didn't hold that b'di'evit, it's okay, but that's a bigger b'di'evit than...
But you know, when you're today in the Israeli business world, every 3 days is a haramat kosi, and you're in the office with 150 people, and you can't walk around and say, but don't touch the oil. It becomes an issue.
Right here. Okay.
What about the Yishuv Kosher?
So the thing is like this. Sometimes what's it called? The Kohen can't answer Baruch Tiyeh because it's a shaila of entering an extra Baruch. It's Baltosif. To give a Yashikoch to somebody who has to do what they have to do, could be not. But the Maisha Yashikoch over here doesn't mean thank you. Not thank you for the Baruch. But you have a mitzvah to do it. I'm just telling you, the Rebbe Lashem should give you court to be able to do it again. That's okay. But the Kohen shouldn't say Baruch Tiyeh. Because it's a shaila about, what's it called, about adding an extra bracha, and that's called adding an extra bracha.
Therefore, you shouldn't do it
in order to put him in the... Not put him in that position, yeah. Or if you know the coin anyway, doesn't it, it'll react.
So there's no
issue,
the heart is still on Moshe's hands?